Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So much talk about sleep hygiene. I absolutely hate the expression sleep hygiene. It makes me feel dirty when I don't sleep, and I'm not a great sleeper at all. But what is the impact? What is the psychological impact of lack of sleep? Dr. Leonard Carr, clinical psychologist. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, Howard. Good, thanks. And you?
I am well, thank you. So what does the lack of sleep do to us from a psychological perspective?
Well, I think that sleep is basically healing. It kind of allows the brain to become refreshed, wash out toxins, process the stresses and you know, material learning and all kinds of material from the day.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, physiologically, it's obviously vital. So when people have lack of sleep, they become irritable, grouchy. And when you're irritable and grouchy, you're more self-centered because you're in a kind of self-preservation mode. And it also makes them, obviously, then more impulsive, as I said, irritable. Mm-hmm. And so your emotional reactions are not as measured and calm as they would be if you had proper sleep.
Right.
So all in all, it's not a good thing.
But what does lack of sleep mean? I mean, to different people.
Well, exactly. That means different things to different people because different people have got different sleep requirements. And I keep seeing sort of contradictory research, you know, in terms of how many hours people need. But I think in general, we can say that most people are sleep deprived. And, you know, I often see, you know, in the corporate world, in the medical world, a lot of fatigue. That is just chronic lack of sleep that people function, you know, in their daily lives. But they get used to it. It becomes normal for them, you know.
Do we sleep today a lot less, more or less or the same as the generation or two generations prior?
Well, I mean, you know, that's hard to tell. But one thing we can say for sure is that before people had electricity, and certainly before they had devices and television and all of these distractions, the only thing to do after dinner was to go to bed, you know, go to sleep with the sun and wake up with the sun.
Right, yes.
So I would imagine that people slept more in the past. You know, the thing is that with television and devices and all of these things, it also overstimulates people.
Right, there's no doubt about that. I know that if I need a decent night's sleep, I have to read before I go to sleep rather than be on my phone. Now, we know that. We know the theory. Everybody's told us that. It's just very difficult to do because we are so engaged in our devices and they do stimulate us.
That's right. And something that I see a lot in my practice, a lot, is that many people have undiagnosed sleep apnea.
Right.
And what I've come to realize is that people don't realize when they have sleep apnea, but if they do, they don't actually enjoy sleep, even though they're not consciously aware of it.
Right.
Because they're sleeping.
Right.
But their sleep is not restful, and so they actually unconsciously avoid sleep.
That is interesting. So they don't, because it's not a great experience for them.
Exactly. So when I hear about people that they just procrastinate and can't get to sleep, I generally suspect that they've got sleep apnea.
Well, it's actually very interesting because we have spoken to somebody about this from a purely medical perspective, and the number of people undiagnosed with it and the impact that it has is quite significant. One of our listeners asking, what are menopausal women supposed to do? We would love to sleep more, but our bodies just don't allow us to.
I know. There are lots of challenges. That's a big question to answer. But one of them is, which is actually good for everybody, is it's been found to keep the room cooler is good for sleep.
Right.
Trouble is that the menopausal woman's husband might not want to live in Antarctica. But that is one solution. But aging also, people also sleep less with age. It gets harder to sleep with age.
Right.
But I don't know what the solution is, because sleeping tablets and using chemicals to sleep is not a good solution.
Not necessarily the answer. So I think the whole idea is, well, if you do suspect you might have sleep apnea, go and check that out. Because I think that that could be something. Keep the room cool, keep away from your devices, and just try and get the amount of sleep that you need. Dr. Leonard Carr, clinical psychologist, thank you for chatting to us this morning. Unfortunately, we just didn't have a lot of time to continue that conversation because it is Friday. Carol says, good morning. They say the older you get, the less sleep you have. I'm 75, and I still can sleep for 8 hours without any problem. Wow. You are blessed, Carol. I don't know. Yeah. Aside from maybe a Friday night, last Friday night, I slept for 11 hours, but that was because both Thursday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night, the two nights prior, I probably had about 2 or 3 hours of sleep per night. But generally, if I can get more than 6 hours, I feel like I have done very, very well.